To recognize its legitimacy as a nation. I think the French, who made extorted money from Haiti, are responsible. I think I could go right through the list, you know. And I do think, I do believe, as you've read in this book and others, that I believe in that kind of assessment of responsibility. The question is, again, what are the mechanisms by which we may offer reparations? And some of them have to involve transfer of resources to do those tasks that have not yet been done. And in doing that, obviously, we further the goals of public health and medicine in Haiti, but also education, building businesses, et cetera. You can't, you know, really hope to have investment, local investment from local, I was going to say business, but as you know, I mean micro-enterprise, et cetera, if people are sick and if people are always living in fear of the next epidemic and want. And so I think we're all responsible. Anyway, I hope to be involved in this long term.
Well, on this issue, the priorities of the UN in Haiti, spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year on a foreign military occupation. Is it time for that foreign occupation? And given that there's no war there, there hasn't been for a century.
I'll say again, as I did on the show last time, that that's not the approach to human security that I would adopt were I the architect. I would not have a militarized approach, but rather investments in basic social and economic rights for poor people, including the right to health care, the right to education. Those investments have not yet occurred in Haiti. Haiti will need rule of law and, you know, a police force just like any other nation, but we need to shift the focus towards building up capacity in these arenas. And that's what we believed when there was a Haitian army as well that had no non-Haitian, and was founded during the U.S. occupation and never had a non-Haitian enemy. So it's still true.
We're going to leave it there. Paul Farmer, the author of To Repair the World, Paul Farmer Speaks to the Next Generation. Our website is democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, May 12th. Freddie Jackson's Mother's Day show will be at B.B. King's Manhattan, 7:30. Great American Songbook Broadway Bound will be at the Dix Hills Performing Arts Center in Dix Hills, 2 p.m. Chris Fuller will be at Zerzamin, 7 p.m. Gent Treadley, featuring Charles Neville of the Neville Brothers, will be at the Brooklyn Bowl, 8 p.m. Joan Osborne's Mother's Day Benefit with Olibel will be at City Winery, Manhattan, 8 p.m. Take 6 will be at the Blue Note, 8 and 10:30. The Paramount welcomes a Todd Rundgren, 8 p.m. Your billboard for Monday, May 13th. Dark Star Orchestra will be at the Brooklyn Bowl. Claire Martin will be at Disney's Club Coca-Cola, 7:30 and 9:30. Gil Evans' birthday celebration featuring Gil Evans Orchestra will be at the Highline Ballroom. The Hitman Jam will be at the Last Call in Farmingdale. Your billboard for Tuesday, May 14th. An evening of jazz, Five Towns College, Jazz Orchestra and Swing Band at the Dix Hills Performing Arts Center in Dix Hills, 7:30. Boz Scaggs will be at the Apollo Theater, 7:30. Looking ahead to Wednesday the 15th, Cassandra House will be at BBQ, 7 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And it's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook, where it's time for Off the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
and a very good evening to everybody on this fine Tuesday afternoon. Isn't it nice? Autumn's back. Yeah, didn't see that coming. That's what I enjoy so much about the weather here, because you never know what to expect. Could be hot, could be cold, could be pleasant, could be raining. It could all be in one day. You never know. Always a surprise. And I like to think that's how we do things here. You never know what's going to happen next. And hopefully this hour will be no exception to that. You can help make it possible by calling us a little bit later on, joining in on the conversation. And there are quite a few things to discuss, as always. Things going on in the world, things going on locally, things going on in our lives. Our ever so fascinating lives. But, you know, I've been carrying around these stories literally for months, maybe even longer than that. I've been meaning to read some of them. They're just random bits that I thought, yeah, you know, that might be good on Off the Wall someday if I have time. Well, you know what? I'm making time. I'm making time right now for these particular stories. And how do you find stories like this? You just kind of wander around on the net. I spend hours sometimes just wandering aimlessly, looking for something. I don't know what it is, but I know when I find it, I'll probably miss it, which is why I keep looking and going back over again. But the point is, sometimes I find something that's unusual enough to merit some noteworthy, as it were. Here is a phenomena, and it's you find out about these things just by literally cruising around on Wikipedia, where you can find so many. Is there a random button on Wikipedia? There should be, if there isn't. I know the main story on the front page seems like it's random. There's always, okay, what is it today? Let's open up a browser here. Sorry, I should have prepared this. What is the story on Wikipedia today? Waiting for the Stony Brook guy internet connection to get to the outside world. It's about gender bending. Oh, no, actually, it's not. It's about an episode of The X-Files called Gender Bender. Really? That's the featured article today, is an episode from The X-Files. Okay, well, as I mentioned, you never know what to expect. Anyway, here is a story about a phenomenon known as dancing mania. Dancing mania, also known as dancing plague, choreomania, St. John's dance for some reason, and also St. Vitus's dance, or Vitus's dance, not really sure. It was a social phenomenon that occurred primarily in mainland Europe, where else, between the 14th and 17th centuries. That's right, people danced back then. A lot of people don't know that. People were dancing back in the 1300s. Yeah, all throughout that period. Columbus might have danced his way onto the shores of America. You don't know. But there was dancing going on back then. But anyway, this particular phenomenon involves groups of people, sometimes thousands at a time. Thousands at a time. Imagine, it's like a flash mob, except way back then. They danced uncontrollably and bizarrely. Now, there was no video of this that I know of. I would certainly like to see that, but no, they weren't enough. Of course not. It was 1500s. They didn't have video technology of any sort, right? Yeah, not even a camera. Yeah, so we're kind of out of luck as far as that goes. Really, not even a camera? How is it nobody had a camera? Thousands of people. Well, anyway, you had thousands of people dancing uncontrollably and bizarrely. They'd also scream, shout, and sing, and claim to have visions or hallucinations. You know, I think I saw this at Union Square the other day. It was only one guy, but still. I think he was channeling this. Screaming, shouting, singing, claiming to have visions or hallucinations. The mania affected men, women, and children who danced until they collapsed from exhaustion. One of the first outbreaks... Sometimes I think maybe this is a joke, this story. I've read it through so many times that sometimes I think it's a joke. One of the first major outbreaks... How do you have an outbreak of dancing mania? How does that happen? It's contagious? Maybe it is. One of the first outbreaks was in Aachen, Germany. Yeah, if I was German, I'd say Aachen. Aachen, like that. Yeah, sort of like... No, they don't do that, do they, with the back of the throat? That's Dutch. Okay, I'm going to say the American, Aachen, in Germany. In 1374, that's where it first started. It quickly spread throughout Europe. One particularly notable outbreak occurred in Strasbourg in 1518. Okay, this doesn't... I know why I wanted to read this, but it doesn't make any sense. Affecting thousands of people across several centuries, dancing mania was not a one-off event and was well documented in contemporary reports. It was nevertheless poorly understood, you think? And remedies were based on guesswork. Generally, musicians accompanied dancers to help ward off the mania, but this tactic sometimes backfired by encouraging more to join in. There is no consensus among modern-day scholars as to the cause of dancing mania. The several theories proposed range from religious cults being behind the processions to people dancing to relieve themselves of stress and put the poverty of the period out of their minds. Well, you know what? There's poverty in this period. There's plenty of religious cults around. So where's the dancing? Where's the dancing mania today? It's simply... And it goes on. It goes on for quite some, many, many pages here. Just skipping ahead to some of the characteristics. The outbreaks of dancing mania varied. Several characteristics of it have been recorded, generally occurring in times of hardship. Up to tens of thousands of people would appear to dance for hours, days, weeks, and even months. Women have often been portrayed in modern literature as the usual participants in dancing mania, although contemporary sources suggest otherwise. Whether the dancing was spontaneous or an organized event is also debated. What is certain, however, is that dancers seem to be in a state of unconsciousness and unable to control themselves. We've got to find video of this. It just seems so insane. Now, in Italy, a similar phenomenon was tarantism. Tarantism, T-A-R-A-N-T-I-S-M, in which the victims were said to have been poisoned by a tarantula or scorpion. You're having a go at me, aren't you, Wikipedia? This is not real. This can't be real. Its earliest known outbreak was in the 13th century. The only antidote known was to dance to particular music to separate the venom from the blood. Well, they didn't have reggae back then, so how could they do this? It occurred only in the summer months, and as with dancing mania, people would suddenly begin to dance, sometimes affected by a perceived bite or sting, and were joined by others who believed the venom from their own bites, their own old bites, was reactivated by the heat or by the music. Now, can you imagine that? People start dancing uncontrollably because they imagine they got a bite from an insect of some sort, or a spider, and this is the way to ward it off. I mean, everybody I know says, oh, look, I got bitten by something. And I'm happy they don't all break out into uncontrollable dancing. That'd be a bit much to take. Anyway, dancers would perform a tarantella, accompanied by music which would eventually cure, in quotes, the victim, at least temporarily. Some participated in further activities such as tying themselves up with vines and whipping each other. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's the first thing I would have suggested. Pretending to sword fight. Why pretend? I mean, you've gone down this far on the road of crazy. You might as well pull out a real sword. They had them back then. Everybody was sword fighting, so why pretend? What else? Drinking large amounts of wine. Well, that's always nice. That's good for anything that ails you. No pun intended. And jumping into the sea. Usually my third suggestion for any malady is jump into this sea. I usually say ocean, but sea works too. So, yeah, good to know that some advice lasts throughout the ages. Now, some people died if there was no music to accompany their dancing. That's an interesting quote. I think we should just pin that up here somewhere. Some died if there was no music to accompany their dancing. Yeah. Sobering lesson, something we can all learn from. You need music. That's be our slogan here. Without USB playing music, you just have a bunch of listeners out there dancing to nothing. And they dance themselves to death, quite literally. Unless they jump into the ocean. Now, sufferers typically had symptoms resembling those of dancing mania, such as headaches, trembling, twitching, and visions. Those are symptoms of dancing mania. It's the symptoms of 8 years of George W. Bush, but I guess they're not that dissimilar. As with dancing mania, participants apparently did not like the color black. I'm just learning more and more as I go on. I didn't know this with dancing mania. No, you don't like the color black. Wow. How about that? Women were reported to be most affected. Unlike dancing mania, tarantism was confined to Italy and southern Europe. It was common until the 17th century, but ended suddenly with only very small outbreaks in Italy until as late as 1959. Wow. So maybe there is some video of this. A study of the phenomenon in 1959 by religious history professor Ernesto Di Martino revealed that most cases of tarantism were probably unrelated to spider bites. That's a relief, because I have lots of spiders. Many participants admitted that they had not been bitten, but believed they were infected by someone who had been. Infected by someone who had been bitten by a spider. How do you get infected by another person who got bitten by a spider? How does that work? Well, they believed it. Or they also believe they had simply touched a spider. How many people just go out and touch a spider? I mean, they touch you, they can walk on you. I guess maybe that's what they meant, but you don't usually go and touch a spider. I touched a spider the other day, actually. I saved the spider's life. I've talked about this before, but this is a different spider. And this time, I saw the spider in my house. You know, typical size black spider, or typical size, I guess the kind that most people would jump up on chairs if they saw. But this time the spider had a little egg sack with her, I guess. It has to be her. It was white, little white sack, or either that or it was a discoloration of some sort. I figured it was an egg sack. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Look, she's pregnant. Pregnant spider running around in the living room. As I've mentioned before, I don't like killing even insects, and certainly not spiders, because spiders take care of the insects and do the dirty work for me. And we get along. We get along. We have an understanding. And this is particularly precarious time for a mother spider, so we agreed to leave each other alone. And the spider was aware of me walking back and forth. I could see her eyeing me and moving to get out of my way and things like that. But I figured I'd give her enough time to just settle in somewhere and do whatever she had to do. The next day, I saw the same spider basically in the same area. So at that point, I realized, you know, I'm going to step on you, or somebody's going to step on you. So I scooped her up in a little container and put her outside. And I don't know, I haven't heard any announcements as far as if the blessed event has happened already. But I imagine it's close, if it has not already happened. And there's all kinds of little tiny spiders running around now that weren't there before. Maybe they even ate her. Do spiders do that? I don't know. So, yeah, you know what? I didn't break out dancing after doing this either. Didn't know I was supposed to. But apparently some people do believe that if you touch a spider, you wind up with, what is it, tarantella? Is that what it was called? Tarantism. Tarantism. Got your tarantism right here. Those people who thought they had simply touched a spider, the result was mass panic, and the cure basically allowed people to behave in ways that were normally prohibited at the time. And despite the differences, tarantism and dancing mania are often considered synonymous. Can you imagine if dancing mania broke out in one of those countries where dancing is forbidden? You know, one of those religious fanatic type countries that bans music, bans dancing, bans quote-unquote Western things. Well, try banning this. It'd be pretty crazy. So, yeah, dancing mania. It's a thing. Figured I'd like to share that, and now I can stop carrying this story around because it's been in my bag now for maybe over a year. And, okay, here's another one, too, that I always also wanted to share. This is about a guy named Dominic DeVille. He's an evil birthday clown, and he'll stalk your child for a fee. Yeah, couldn't make this up. For a fee, Dominic DeVille will wear a really creepy-looking costume and scare your birthday child for an entire week. Attention, parents, just in case your children don't have anything to talk about in therapy, here's something you might want to consider. Dominic DeVille rents himself out as an evil birthday clown who leaves scary notes for your children, warning them that they're being watched and that they'll soon be attacked. At the end of a terrifying week, your child will indeed be attacked. DeVille, wearing a freaky clown mask, will smash a cake into your child's face. DeVille is capitalizing on what has become a mainstay for all circus-going kids, the fear of clowns. Yeah, throughout the week leading up to the child's birthday, the child, quote, feels more and more that it is being pursued. That's in the words of Dominic DeVille himself. The clown's one and only aim is to smash a cake into the face of his victim when they least expect it, during the course of 7 days. DeVille harasses his targets with texts, phone calls, and letters to let them know that their time is coming. Of course, since the creepy stunt is all in fun, DeVille promises to back off if he's asked to by parents, who I imagine are paying him. So you'd have to do what they say. But apparently not if the kid asks you to back off. I guess they have no say in this. If at any point the kids get scared or their parent... The kid's going to be scared from the beginning. You're leaving him frightening texts and phone calls and saying you're going to get him. And why wouldn't the kid be scared? But if at any point the kids get scared or their parents are concerned, we stop right there, he said. But most kids absolutely love being scared senseless. And where else but Switzerland is where this is happening. I think it's refreshing. In this age where we're all worrying and going crazy about the children constantly, well, some good old-fashioned scariness might be just the thing. Treating kids a little bit more resiliently, you know? It's like Terry Gilliam said, when you drop kids, they don't break, they bounce. Of course, not literally. It doesn't mean drop a baby on the ground. But he meant that kids can take life, and they should be exposed to life, not protected from it. Because by protecting them from it, you're protecting everybody from it, and we all wind up in this quote-unquote nanny state, which that's a phrase that a lot of conservatives use against liberals, but I use it against just stupidity in general. Because it's all around us, in all kinds of institutions, whether it be school, whether it be parents, whether it be work environments. Always, what about the children? What about this particular person who might be offended? What about how this might be perceived in a certain situation? You know what? You got to just deal with things. Take the good with the bad. Yeah, okay. That's my philosophy for today. All right, so... That wasn't a good idea to put that there. I'm sorry, that's a piece of our tape recorder. Hang on. Literally, the studio is falling apart. And this fan is driving me berserk. Can you hear this? Yeah, it's because this happens every year. You know, it gets warm and the university just pumps heat into our poor little studio here. Then the equipment breaks and everybody wonders why. And people on the air get cranky and they start sweating. It's torture. It's what it is. It's real torture for you, the listener. I can take it. But if you really want torture, how's that for a segue? If you really want torture, how about signing up for this one-way trip to Mars? You hear about this? Yeah, they basically are planning this. A Dutch company named Mars One, because no one else has ever done this before. Mars One has begun looking for volunteer astronauts to fly to Mars. Now, this is not like the other trip we talked about where I think a husband and wife or people who generally get along. Well, that wouldn't be a husband and wife now, would it? Well, just people who can stand each other maybe for a year or two in a very confined container would fly out to Mars and not land, just simply circle it a couple of times and then come right back. You know, it's not like going out to the store. It's basically taking six, 8 months each way? Yeah. But this is different. This is actually leaving for the Red Planet in the year 2022 and landing 7 months later in 2023 and returning never coming back. Yeah, what do you think about that? Never coming back. Now, it saves on the cost and anxiety of making the return trip, but what you get is a certain kind of hell that I can't even conceive of. Can you imagine? Just put yourself in this position. But you're on that particular little tin can going out into space towards Mars, realizing that you're never going to see Earth again. You're never going to see your friends and your family again. Well, maybe you'll get some kind of video transmission. Maybe you can listen to some radio or something. Hey, maybe you can listen to us. Who knows? But you'll never walk the streets of New York. You'll never swim in the ocean. You know, all those things that we've come to associate with this planet that we happen to be stuck on. Well, these people won't be stuck on it. They'll be going to another planet that they'll be stuck on. Except that one doesn't have the kind of air you can breathe. Doesn't have oceans. Doesn't have cities. Doesn't have much in the way of entertainment that I understand. So, yeah, imagine that. Realizing that you've made this commitment. And you can never go back. Now, I imagine that there are a lot of situations you could find yourself in a similar type of a hell. Say you have a terminal disease or something, or you're in solitary confinement, or perhaps you're in a coma, and nobody knows how to communicate with you, but you're still conscious and you can't communicate with anybody. Yeah, there's all kinds of hells that I guess we are stuck on a raft in the middle of the ocean, yet somehow you have enough food to survive, but nobody can ever find you. I can keep thinking of things like that. But there's something about this, because nobody has ever left the planet before, never to come back. I think we've sent ashes of people to the moon. Didn't we send Scotty up there or something from Star Trek? I think at least part of him is up there. So, yeah, we've done things like that, but I don't think we've ever sent anybody, dead or living, to another world, another planet, away from Earth. This would be a first. So, you know, I can't imagine how somebody could reconcile themselves into doing something like this. Unless they really didn't like it here. And then when you think about it, you really don't like it here. Well, you know, oxygen is kind of good. If there's one thing I think we can all agree on, Muslim, both Sunni and Shiite, Jew, Catholic, Protestant, atheist, all those people, we can all agree that oxygen is a pretty good thing for us. So, you know, turning your back on that and going to another world where, if it does exist, it's not the kind of supply that you can just take a nice deep breath and watch the sun come up. So, yeah, you basically be in this world with a few other people, building a colony slowly. And that in itself isn't so bad. That in itself I find kind of intriguing, but it's the never coming back part. More people would come later and join up, but at least not in the foreseeable future, there will be no trips back. So this was announced just under a month ago, I believe, and since then 75,000 people have signed up. 75,000 people. If you take them seriously, want to leave this Earth forever and go to our next door neighbor Mars. So, yeah, you know, and it's important that people do this. This is how humanity steps forward. People taking bold steps like this, people who have scaled mountains and explored the Antarctic and various things like that. Those are pioneers. We've learned a lot from that. People who have taken those first boat rides over the high seas or first airplane rides. It continues. It always will continue in one way or another. And it takes a lot of guts to do that. I'll tell you what, though. If you find yourself being one of the people that does go on this or a succeeding mission, and you find yourself listening to this audio somehow, send me an email. I'm sure there's a way to do that. Send me an email from your colony or from your ship on the way to the colony. And however many years from now it is, otw@2600.com. I'm sure we'll still be around. And I want to hear how it is, what it's like. Yeah, people will be able to communicate. That will always exist. Of course, there'll be a delay, quite a bit of a delay, but that at least can keep you sane. And isn't it much better now that, you know, we can download movies over the internet instead of having to bring a whole bunch of DVDs? Think about that. You'd have these people going to Mars and stacking an entire garage full of DVDs for the movies they want to see for the rest of their lives. Or you could simply have them connect on some kind of high-speed internet interplanetary system and download whatever they want. And it'd be updated then, too. Yeah, how would they pay for it? I don't know. You know, there's probably people in various companies that are worried about how people on Mars will pay for it. I wonder what the top-level domain for Mars is going to be. Actually, it can't be a top-level domain because, well, our top-level domains, those are the last three or two letters at the end of an email address or website, .com, .net, .us, .uk. Some of them indicate countries. Country is the highest. There isn't one for planet. You know, we should have thought of that. Because now, I think everyone's going to have .earth after their email address because there's going to be a .mars. Because you can't make .mars the top-level domain if you're going to have .es for Spain also be a top-level domain. Spain's not a planet. I know that. And we want our children to know that, too. Think of the children. Okay, so there we go. That's some of what's been going on. What else? Oh, this is insane. Have you guys heard about this? One of the guys behind the bombing in Boston, Tamerlan, I should know how to say his name. It's been said enough on mass media. Tamerlan Sarnaev, is that how you say it? I don't know. I'll just say Tamerlan, the older brother. He's been buried finally in somewhere in Virginia. And people are outraged. People are outraged. First of all, nobody wanted to bury him anywhere near Boston or Massachusetts, where he lived. And while he wasn't a citizen of this country, he was a legal resident, whatever the phrase was, and he was about to become a citizen. His brother was a citizen. So this whole a foreigner thing just doesn't fly because this was his country. And I want to ask these people, what in God's name do you want to do with him exactly? Just throw him into a crowd and tear him to pieces? Is that what you're after? You know, you can't bury him here, can't bury him there, can't bury him anywhere. What exactly do you want? And where is Timothy McVeigh buried? There's a guy who killed so many more people. Oh, but he was American. He was American through and through. And nobody protested when it was time to bury him. Or any of the other domestic terrorists that are out there that have died over the years. And there are more than a few. The kid who shot up the school in Connecticut, where's he buried? He's got to be buried somewhere. I didn't see any objection to that. Somebody took his body right away. Now, you know, I'm not standing here or sitting here fighting for equal rights for whoever the terrorist or criminal of the week happens to be, other than basic humanity dictates that when somebody dies, you dispose of them properly. That sounds kind of harsh, but you bury them like a human being, like even a dog you would bury. I'm ruling out state funerals and momentous occasions and things like that, just something basic. But fighting this, I just don't get that. I really want to know what these people want. Unbelievable. And the other story that really, really annoyed me, well, obviously, all these stories annoy me, but you heard about the shooting in New Orleans. Yeah, this is yet another horrible incident where there's a Mother's Day parade in New Orleans. And what happened was some idiot decided he was going to open fire on the crowd. Just open fire on the crowd. There's video of him doing this, in fact. Wounded 19 people. Somehow didn't kill anybody, but wounded 19 people. And one of the first things the authorities said was, this isn't terrorism, this is street crime. Street crime. Somebody please tell me the difference between somebody who puts a bomb on a street and somebody who fires a gun into a street. What's the difference? Because one guy had a Russian name? Because he was quote-unquote radicalized? Because he was Muslim? What exactly is it? Yeah, he said some things in the past. Some things about jihad and respecting Islam and things like that. I'm sure if and when they find this guy in New Orleans, he'll say some things too. Some things that'll lead you to believe he's not quite with it. Whether demons are speaking to him or he didn't like particular types of people or whatever. Point is, crazy is crazy. And I just don't see how right away we label one instance terrorism and one instance street crime. If the brothers had used guns on the crowd instead of a bomb, what would we have said then? Not to belittle what has happened up in Boston. It was a horrible thing, but there have been so many things that have happened since then that are much worse. Certainly, if you add it all up, it's a lot worse. We were talking about little kids, you know, getting their hands on weapons. We talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about four-year-olds, how it seemed like a bunch of four-year-olds just were firing at people and killing people or being killed by guns, four-year-olds. The week after that, there was a story involving a five-year-old. And this week, it was a three-year-old. Three-year-old Florida boy fatally shot himself a week ago using a gun he found in the bedroom that he shared with his uncle. These kinds of things happen constantly. And, okay, you might not find somebody preaching to a religion or a nation or something like that. Maybe somebody decides to do something crazy with a gun because he just isn't feeling well that day. But in a society where you don't know who's going to snap next, you don't know what kind of death they'll be wielding at their hands, at their fingertips, in their pockets, how is that any less terror than just walking down a street and wondering what could blow up? Point is, it's all terror. It's all something we shouldn't have to deal with. What's kind of ironic in all this, I'm seeing a story from Reuters saying The Mother's Day shooting in New Orleans has ruined a century-old tradition. Well, you know what? New traditions are born every day. And New Orleans is quickly getting, or has gotten a reputation for being a very violent place. A lot of gun crime of various sorts. So maybe it's a new tradition that's going to last a lot longer than a century. I'd like to take phone calls. 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. So I guess the best way to do that is to straight away go into delay and meet our listeners over in delay land. Again, the phone number, 631-632-6901.
This is Robert Klein speaking to you from WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. Get me out of here.
And here we are. We're in delay land. Isn't that amazing? Sound a little bit different, but you can still make out what we're saying. Our phone number again, 631-632-6901. It's expensive to go into delay, so please make it worth our while. And call us with any comments. It doesn't even have to be on topic. This particular show is one where you can set the course. It's like everybody is the commander of this ship. Shall we take a call? Let's take a call. 631-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
Bobson from Bulgaria. How are you?
Well, not too bad. I was listening to a show and I was... Okay, this thing about the dancing in the 15th century, I mean, the film is kind of... There may be film, but you have to think of it this way. If you had managed to get back in time to the 15th century to film it, why would you stick the tapes or whatever thing you had filmed it on so you could find it 500 years later and go look for it?
See, that's the same concern I have for people that say they can store nuclear waste for many thousands of years. We can't even keep track of where a time traveler kept some film from 400 years ago.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you should go back there, to where would you be sticking the film to find it nowadays?
Where would I stick it? Well, that's a good question, because...
So you should be looking for it now, is what I'm saying.
Most establishments have probably changed ownership between then and now. We didn't have malls then, so... You know, obviously they would last thousands of years. I guess I'd bury it someplace, but then I'd have to leave the map as to where I buried it somewhere else that's safe.
You're traveling back in time.
Well, that's easy compared to this.
You found it before you left to go back in time, right?
Found it before I left to go... Okay, if I found... Yeah, but I'd have to go back in time... Actually, why would I have to go back in time? If I knew where it was, but then somebody would have to tell me where it was.
Well, I don't know where you stuck the film.
Well, okay, maybe if somebody wrote it down back then.
75,000 volunteers to go to Mars in 22 years.
Yeah, or maybe they could help us find the Dancing Mania videos. But can you imagine if Dancing Mania broke out on Mars? That would be something.
Well, if I ever get there, I'll be sure to write to you and tell you how it is. And if there's... If something like that should break out, I'll make sure and film it. And
I'm writing this down as a film idea for a future project, because this is gold. Yeah, break Dancing Mania on Mars. That could be the title, in fact, Dancing Mania on Mars. Wow. There's all kinds of possibilities here.
That sounds like the worst B-movie that never was.
Well, give it time. But the thing is, now you're in Bulgaria, and it sounds like Bulgaria is a lot closer to where Dancing Mania might have taken place. I didn't see any...
what you mentioned, yes.
Didn't see any reports of Dancing Mania in the United States, because there wasn't a United States for a lot of that period. So maybe it never happened here, but maybe you can look it up where you are and see if perhaps some of your ancestors might have been afflicted by Dancing Mania. It's another project.
That sounds like... I don't know how many records go back 500 years around here where the Ottoman Empire used to be and all that, so it's...
Yeah, they burned a lot of things. That's true. You'd think maybe this book, the Bible, might mention it someplace, because I'm sure they had Dancing Mania back then. People were doing all kinds of things. But,
but that book is much older than the 15th century.
What I'm saying is there might have been Dancing Mania going on since the days of Christ and before that. It's quite possible, and I think people who thoroughly read the Bible should look for this.
Oh, I'm not as familiar with that book as some people.
Yeah, a lot of people do read it quite religiously. In fact, anything else on your mind? Anything else going on over in that part of the world?
Well, the weather's been kind of strange. It got quite hot, and then it reverted back to more bearable lack of heat, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
Or seeing how cold it got all of a sudden, but I'm enjoying it better than the heat.
What's the most exciting kind of weather that you get in Bulgaria? Do you get hurricanes? Do you get blizzards? What stands out?
Not of late. Well,
we had both in the last 6 months, so that's why I like weather here, because we actually get weather here.
Well, yeah, the weathers you've been having there over the past year, so it's not enviable, shall we say?
Yeah. Now you know what Sandy is. You've heard the name Sandy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the name of any storm that has ever hit Bulgaria, and that's not fair.
Well, we're not close enough to any significantly large bodies of water to get any of those.
Yeah, but that's not your fault. You shouldn't be blamed for that. It's not at all your responsibility. It's an inequity I'm pointing out.
No, I as I said, I'm not too envious about lacking those things around here.
Yeah, but I can hear it in your voice. I think it's keeping you up at night. And it is night there now, isn't it? What time is it?
Well, it's 10 to 2 a.m.
Yeah,
I
rest my case.
The Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Local daylight savings time.
Yeah, that's another scam. I'm not even going to get into that. Daylight savings. We're
only 7 hours in the future. Uh-huh. Something like that. New York.
Yes, right. It's Wednesday there. How's Wednesday shaping up?
Well, I'm liking the weather so far.
Uh huh. Okay, good. See, it's good to know these things. This is our way of talking to the future. It's a bit of time travel, but not quite the time travel I had in mind. But it's a start.
Well, but if you want the footage from the 15th century, you're going to be heading. You have to be heading the other way.
We're closer to the 15th century than you. That is true.
But what happened to the WUSB phone number?
Oh, that still exists, too. I just decided to give out this number instead. 631-632-WUSB and 631-632-6901, which is 690.1, our frequency. They go to the same place.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure about the WUSB, so I called the 6901.
Yeah, if anyone is confused or scared, just call either one. I won't know the difference. I won't know which one you dialed. I won't even know where you're calling from, because we don't have caller ID. So there.
Well, I told you where I'm calling from, right?
And I believe you, because you're the only person who calls from Bulgaria. Why is that? Why does nobody else call from Bulgaria? And actually, right now, nobody else is calling from anywhere. So, people, what's up with that? 631-632-6901.
Probably sleeping 1 a.m.-ish or so.
I'm sorry, what?
People are probably asleep at 1 a.m. on a Wednesday.
And that somehow prevents you from calling? I call people when I'm asleep all the time. I don't accept that.
Oh.
Bobson, any travel plans on your agenda?
Well, OHM is coming up quite fast. I don't know.
OHM, OHM, the Dutch hacker event coming up in
end of July,
late July, early August. It's taking 2 months. Well, it's taking 5 days, but over the course of the end of July and beginning of August. So yeah, that's a hacking event of the year, I believe.
Are you going there, or
yeah,
do you not know yet?
Sure. Try and keep me away. Go ahead, try it.
You
won't succeed.
All right.
You won't succeed, because, no, I'll be there, with bells on.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Right, well, have a great night.
All right, thanks for calling. Get some sleep, and don't worry about the Dancing Mania. I'm sure it's petered out by now.
All right.
Good night.
Have fun. Bye.
Our correspondent from Bulgaria. joining us. Anyone else, please, 631-632-6901. We only have about, a minute and a half. And I would like to hear other voices, too. Could talk to Bobson all night long, but I know there are other people who listen to the show. And I know there are lots of people who download the show. I know I can't talk to you unless we do perfect time travel. Here's one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. No, wait. I can't press that button. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello, Manuel.
Hi. How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Tony. I'm calling from Medford.
Medford, New York.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen. I called you earlier. You weren't there. You were playing the long version of your intro there. I talked to a young lady who was behind the scenes there, and I said I'd call back, and I did. I heard something on YouTube today, and, you know, I'm not a big YouTube fan.
Uh-huh.
I know you got people calling from all over the earth there.
Yes, maybe Mars someday.
Yes, and I'm just calling from, like, next door, so perhaps it doesn't mean as much, but...
Oh, it means plenty. Medford, I got auto parts in Medford once.
Yes, it was astronaut. It was a Canadian astronaut. I forget his name, but he sang...
Hadfield, yes. He sang Space Oddity. Wasn't that awesome?
Space Oddity from space. David Bowie's Space Oddity from space. Now I don't know how old a man you are. I'm 50. I'm going to be 51 this year, Manuel, myself. And you know, I'm a big David Bowie fan from years back. And,
yes.
Actually, he's actually always a little bit before my time.
Well, he's ageless. David Bowie is really ageless.
I couldn't get over the fact that this guy's singing Space Oddity from outer space.
Wasn't that amazing?
And I started to like put together, you know, what is YouTube? YouTube is almost becoming like reality.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is becoming YouTube, and quite a science fiction-y sense.
It's what we make out of it, and that was one of the best applications I've seen yet. And it was just so cool to see that music used in that way. And I'm sure David Bowie got a real kick out of it too. A song that he wrote back in the 1970s, now being transmitted to us from space, and done really, really very well too. The first music video to come from space. I don't know how Hadfield got a guitar onto the space station, but he did a really good job with it. And it was very emotional. He landed in I think Kazakhstan early this morning or late last night, and I think he's on his way back to Canada now.
That was pretty cool. You know, I just thought I'd bring that up because...
Thanks. I'm glad you did because I would have forgotten about that. And that was a very momentous occasion. He brought a lot of people with him onto the space station. And I think we all benefited from that.
I just think there's some sort of connection between that. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Ray Kurzweil, Singularity.
Uh-huh.
Where you know, the future of mankind is headed. And I know it sounds like a lot like, you know, far-out science fiction, you know, BS, but I think there's a lot of truth to it, and every day we kind of see a little bit, there's another part of the human body that's being replaced. And
it's all stepping stones. Everything is related. We're all on a journey someplace, and nobody knows where it's going, and that's the magic of it. Hey, listen, please call again. We are...
And we don't really talk about it a lot. We don't really like to talk about it. Especially, like, older people don't like to talk about it. Younger people just like to push it off. And people in the middle really don't care.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think, you know, having a collective conversation is definitely a healthy thing. And realizing that nobody really knows what's going on, no matter what our faith or lack thereof happens to say about us, we're all kind of in the dark, and there's something comforting about that. But listen, I got to run because we're out of time, and Finn's going to kill me if I run into a show. So please call again. It's very entertaining and enlightening.
See you soon.
All right, take care. And that is just going to do it for us tonight. We are out of time. Good calls tonight. Good calls. And I want to encourage people to write to us because I like getting good letters too. Yeah, letters are amazing. Our email address is OTW. OTW stands for Off the Wall. OTW at 2600.com, 2600.com. Won't you send us a letter and tell us what's on your mind, how you feel, your opinions, that kind of thing. Have yourselves a good week. See you next time. Good night. We're walking the same line again. Our heads up high because we are men. As music says our mortal soul, as one we reach our final goal, and we're still standing strong. We're standing strong. No matter what, as friends we go. No matter what may come.
strong. We're standing strong. We're standing strong. No matter what, the clan is standing strong. We're standing strong. We're standing strong. No matter what, we're still standing strong. We're standing strong. We're standing strong. No matter what, the clan is standing strong.
Finn with you, kids. Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB, Stony Brook. The political activist, progressive political activist, Medea Benjamin is going to be on the air with us in a little bit, founder of Code Pink, among other organizations. She's going to be talking about her new book, Drone Warfare. So stay tuned just a few minutes from now.
I ain't got no home. this world anymore. My brothers and my sisters are stranded on this road, a long and dusty road that a million feet of trod. Now the rich man took my home and drove me from my door. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. No, I ain't got no home in this world anymore. Farming on the shares, and always I was poor. My crops are laid into the banker's store, and my wife took down and died all on the cabin floor. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. No, I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I'm minding your minds and I gathered in your corn. I've been working, mister, since the day that I was born. Now I worry all the time like I never did before. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. No, I ain't got no home in this world anymore. Now as I look around, it's mighty plain to see this world is such a strange and funny place to be, where the gambling man is rich while the working man is poor. I ain't got no home in this world anymore. No, I ain't got no home.